Good evening, everyone, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 1 Samuel. Tonight is study number 94. And we're presently in 1 Samuel chapter 6, and I'll begin reading in verse 3. And they said, "If ye send away the ark of the God of Israel, send it not empty, but in any wise return him a trespass offering, then ye shall be healed. And it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you." Then said they, "What shall be the trespass offering which we shall return to him?" They answered, 5 golden emerods and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines. For one plague was on you all and on your lords. Wherefore you shall make images of your emerods and images of your mice that mar the land, and shall give glory unto the God of Israel. Peradventure he will lighten his hand from off you, and from off your gods, and from off your land. Wherefore then do ye harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts, when he had wrought wonderfully among them? Did they not let the people go, and they departed?" Now, last time we had noticed that there were 3 elements that we find in these verses that would help us to understand what God is teaching here spiritually. And that is, number one, that the priests and diviners' counsel was that if they send the ark of God away, do not send it empty. That was the first thing. And we understand that that related to what God had said to Moses. When the Israelites would come out of Egypt, they will not go away empty, but the Egyptian people would give their jewels of gold and jewels of silver and raiment, and they would spoil the Egyptians. And the second thing was the images of the emerods and of the mice were a trespass offering. That language indicates a recognition, an admission of guilt. The word trespass offering is actually translated in one place as guiltiness. And it is an offering made when someone became aware of their guilt over their sin. And so that also is important. And the third thing is that the statement is made in verse 5, "He shall give glory unto the God of Israel." And we last time went to Joshua chapter 7, verse 19, and we saw how Joshua said to Achan, the troubler of Israel, he encouraged him to confess his sin and to give glory to God, to the God of Israel. And so when we put all these things together, we understand much better what is going on here. And one other detail is that this is happening at the end of the 7 months that the Ark of God has been in the land of the Philistines. And that 7-month period typifies the Great Tribulation, the entire duration, which turned out to be a full an exact 23 years, from May 21, 1888 through May 21, 2011. Now, it's not as easy as you would think to understand the spiritual meaning of the return of the ark, because we saw in the previous chapter, chapter 5, that the ark was a picture of the Word of God as Satan and his emissaries assaulted the congregations and forcibly overcame the churches. They found themselves in possession of the Bible. Of course, the Bible is worldwide. The Bible is in the hands of God's people outside of the churches too. But the Bible became identified with the church and the world. When it has a question about something related to the Bible, they turn to the church because they identify the Bible and the church. They do not separate them. They think the church is the custodian of the Bible, and actually God did use the churches to bring the gospel to the world for almost two millennia. So they have good reason for thinking this. They don't understand the idea that the church age is over and God was sending forth the gospel outside of the churches during the latter rain. But the 7 month period was a time when the church, which was the outward representation of the kingdom of God upon earth during its time, but then was given up by God as judgment began at the house of God, the churches, that they had the oversight in the world's eyes of the word of God. But now in chapter 6, the 7 months has almost come to an end. The great tribulation again is likened to that 7 month period. And so when the ark leaves the country of the Philistines and begins its return journey back to Israel, it is a picture of the end of the great tribulation. And we wonder, well, if the ark represented the word of God, well, what does it mean at the end of the great tribulation that the ark is returning to Israel? And it really was it was confusing. How can we understand this? Well, as we find these three things in the first several verses of 1 Samuel 6, we begin to realize what God is doing with the statement that the ark was not to return empty. It should not be sent away empty, but it should have the trespass offering, the jewels of gold. And it ties in very well with the statement in Exodus 3 that that Israel, the slaves of Egypt, would not be sent away empty, but they would receive jewels of gold and silver and spoil the Egyptians. And that's exactly what's in view here. God is spoiling the Philistines. And the spoils are the spoils that are won in battle. When one nation overtakes another nation and defeats that nation, they win the spoils. They can ransack the city. They can take away the gold, the silver, whatever they like. They are victorious. And at the end of the Great Tribulation, spiritually, God is victorious over the kingdom of Satan, over Satan himself, and over his entire kingdom. The Lord Jesus Christ is the victor. And that's why the trespass offering, as Achan confessed his guilt and then was put to death and gave glory to God, which is a statement of confession and recognition that God is just in his judgment. And so too here, God was just in devastating the land of the Philistines. And all these things are telling us that at the end of the great tribulation, the Lord Jesus Christ is the victorious king, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. And he has won the fierce battle against Satan and the kingdom of darkness. Now we have this same picture with the end of the 70 years that the Babylonians were used of God to bring judgment upon Judah. We know from Daniel 5 that the Babylonians were in power until 539. And then when Daniel interpreted the writing on the wall that very night, the king of Babylon was slain, and Cyrus, the king of the Medes and Persians, took the kingdom. Cyrus, a picture of Christ himself, and the king of Babylon, a figure of Satan. He was killed, and the kingdom of Babylon came under the rule of the Medes and the Persians at the end of 70 years. We find in Ezra, in chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of Jehovah by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. Jehovah stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, Jehovah, God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of Jehovah, God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver, and with gold, and with goods, and with beasts, beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem." Cyrus's decree that the captive Jews can be released, they can return to their land, and notice especially verse 4, let the men of the place help them with silver and gold and goods and so on. That is very, very similar to when Israel spoiled the Egyptians when they were leaving Egypt, and they also were given gold and silver. It is the victory of Christ. As Cyrus, we won't turn there, but you can go to the end of Isaiah 44 and the beginning of Isaiah 45, and you'll see that he is called the Anointed One, and that word anointed is the same word translated Messiah that is used in Daniel 9 to refer to Christ, the Messiah. And Cyrus takes the kingdom of Babylon at the end of 70 years, not 71 years or 100 years, but the 70 years, that period of time, that historical period from 609 through 539 BC, that typifies the entire length of the Great Tribulation, just as the 7 months typified the duration of the Great Tribulation. And in both cases, the end of 70 years, the Jews are set free and they're given gold and silver. At the end of the 7 months, the Ark begins its return to Israel and is given the trespass offering of jewels of gold. It's a similar picture. But let's look at some other verses that will highlight and confirm that May 21 of 2011 was a time of great victory for the kingdom of God. It was not as some think. We have to understand things through the Bible, and we understand spiritual things from the Bible, not through what we think, and not through our eyes and how we imagine things to be. We might look at May 21 and in our disappointment that it didn't quite happen the way that we thought it would, we think, well, it was a terrible day of defeat for the kingdom of heaven, for the children of God. And yet that is not the case. The Bible views the end of the Great Tribulation, and May 21 was the end of the Great Tribulation, as a tremendous day of victory. And the one who was defeated was Satan and the kingdom of darkness. We see this in Daniel chapter 7. Let's turn over there. In Daniel 7, beginning in verse 9, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open. Now this language is describing judgment day. Notice the judgment was set, and the books were open, exactly as it says in Revelation 20. We also have the Ancient of Days, who is there with his throne like the fiery flame. Well, in Revelation 20, we read of a great white throne, and it says in verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." And here in Daniel 7, we have the judgment throne. The judgment was set, it says in verse 10, and the books were open. It is very identical or very similar language. And then it goes on to say in verse 11, "I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame." Now, who is the beast? Well, we would have to read the earlier verses of this chapter. For instance, back in verse 3, "And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. And then a second beast, in verse 5, like a bear. And verse 6, another like a leopard. And then a fourth beast, and so on." Well, when we compare this to Revelation 13, we find a match in verse 1. "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea," just as we read in Daniel 7, and "having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." And then it goes on to say in verse 2, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." We find the same animals identified with the beast that comes up out of the sea as we find in Daniel 7. And we learned a long time ago, and it's just been confirmed as we've continued to study, that the beast is a name given to Satan exclusively for the period of the Great Tribulation. It is a name that identifies with the Great Tribulation. It is referring to Satan's rule during that particular point in time. And now verse 11 is telling us that it says, "I beheld till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame." And that fits with Judgment Day. That fits with May 21, 2011. Judgment Day is the end of the Great Tribulation. That would be the end of the length of time that God had given to the beast to rule within the churches and congregations of the world. The Bible says it was given to him to rule for 42 months. Another length of time that's a figure of speech that indicates the complete Great Tribulation, which again turned out to be actually 23 years. And Satan was given that length of time to rule over the churches. What happens at the end of that time? Well, that the end of the 23 years came May 21, 2011. Well, his rule is done, and his authority was only to rule for that period of time, no longer, only for the time of the Great Tribulation. and then he would rule no more. Well, it says after we read that he was slain, it says in verse 12 is concerning the rest of the beast. They had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. And again, here the beast is slain, but the rest of the beast, even though they have their dominion, and that would refer to their authority during their rule, the Great Tribulation, that was taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season and time. And how can we ever understand what God is saying? We really never did understand until we entered into these days after the tribulation. Now we have a superior vantage point of seeing that God has another period of time in which he will judge the world. It's judgment day, as God has saved all the elect, and that's why the books were open, to show that all the names which were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, all of them have been found and all of them have experienced salvation. Therefore, the judgment is for the rest of mankind that their names are not found in that book. And there's no more to be found. And that's the central aspect of the judgment of God during these days of judgment, a spiritual judgment of the shutting of the door to heaven that no one could ever see and no one sees now. And yet one aspect is the defeat of Satan. He was deposed. He was put down on the day of judgment of May 21, yet he continues to exist as the beast and the rest of the beast. They're all referring to the same being, the same fallen angel, Satan, but it's just telling us about different aspects of God's plan for him, in that he was killed or slain, as it says here, and given to the burning flame. That's indicating his rule. But he continues to exist as a spirit being. He hasn't died. He's still in the world. But he lacks power. He lacks authority that God had previously given him. And so this is God's point. Now notice it goes on to say here in Daniel 7:13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Here we have the one like the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven, which relates to Matthew 24, immediately after the tribulation. What's in view? It says in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, we don't have time to show how this is not literal. It's figurative language, as much of the Bible is, as God wrote in parables to indicate Christ has come in judgment and come. We see him through his word. The clouds typify this. And he has come victoriously, as it goes on to say in Daniel 7:13, that he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. The dominion was taken from the beast, and it was given to the Son of Man that came on the clouds of heaven. He now has dominion. Like Cyrus took the kingdom, and Cyrus ruled over Babylon. And so God is indicating that this is what happened on May 21, which tells us that actually we're living in a period of time in these days after the tribulation, not of defeat, but of tremendous victory for the Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom of heaven. After all of the elect whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life became saved. That was the battle over the course of history. God, who obligated himself and guaranteed the salvation of all his elect, and Satan doing everything he could to prevent it, desperately trying to keep this one and that one from hearing the gospel so they would not become saved and leave the darkness of his kingdom. But now Christ has found them all. All the lost sheep have been found and returned unto the shepherd and bishop of their souls. All that were in darkness are now in the light. And that was the nature of the spiritual battle that raged over the centuries down through biblical history and even after in the history of the New Testament church age and up until our day. We were privileged to witness the great final battle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan as the gospel went forth into all the world, as that news was broadcast to all the earth, and God used it to bring about the salvation of a great multitude. He saved the best for last. He saved tens of millions, tens and tens of millions of individuals leading up to that particular day. You know, people often make the charge, well, the gospel that e-Bible teaches is one of no salvation. No, that is false. The gospel that e-Bible teaches, which is found in the Word of God, is one of great salvation, one in which God has saved who knows how many million. The vast majority of souls that were to be saved have been saved, and all the elect have been saved. You can't get any more salvation than that. This is a tremendous information. It's wonderful news that God has completed his salvation plan. It is the good news of the gospel. Well, we'll stop here tonight, and Lord willing, we'll pick up next time we get together. But for now, I'm going to say good night.